Hello and welcome back to episode 72, the After Show Combo. Join us as Peter chats with Tegan Parker, a freelance teaching artist and creator of Improv for Wellness.
Streaming from Retro Earth Studio and brought to you by
WeAreHistorically.com, conscious brand apparel.
Level up your life and raise your vibration with specialized Fibonacci tuning forks. Get your vibrational sound tools for your personal enhancement at energybodytuners.com.
After Show Convo.
All right, Teague, thanks again for tapping in and sticking with us for the after show. And if you haven't tapped in yet, listeners, check out part one where we really dive into the philosophy and aspects of everything that goes into wellness through acting. So, Teague, let's get started right now, off the gate. Come Up Productions. We talk about your entire philosophy of acting. Like, when did this idea now come into the forefront of your being?
Yeah. So Come Up Productions, for the listeners, this is my personal business that I run. It's equal parts a production company as well as the company that I do my Improv for Wellness work through. So the way that it came to be was in part one, I talked about how I left my grad program and I was basically coming back to Washington and being like, I'm just going to start my career. And part of that was like, I want to make art with the people that I care about, with the people that I love. And I want to put on theater productions that matter to me and to the people I care about. And so it just started to form where I had a number of friends that we all wanted to put on this play together. It was called Orange Flower Water. And so as that was happening, I was coming back home and I was like, you know what? I think I can be the person to kind of spearhead this thing. And I was like, I don't want people to have to pay tickets to see a show. I don't want people to, I want it to feel like if you came, you made a really important choice and that you were valued for making the choice to go see a show. And so we went with that attitude. I got the business license. I started to do fundraisers for the show that we were doing. And we ended up putting up a production of this play in a found space. So it was in somebody's living space in a basement area. So we invited audiences to go in there and we got to have the tickets be free. And we only let 12 people in and everybody got to sign a poster as they came in just to be like, hey, you made this event happen. This is what theater is about. It's about community. It's about building relationships. Mm-hmm. It's about the audience and performers creating a moment in time. And so that's kind of how that side of Come Ups came. And then the Improv for Wellness, I was just growing and doing on my own. And I just made that more and more a part of my business to now the point where I teach workshops. I teach professional development. I do consultations to work with different people, but also teaching artists to help them uncover their artistry in teaching. And just different practices that I like to offer to people now. So it's just grown over time, but it came from leaving my grad program and being like, I'm going to start my artistic career finally.
So that right there is, I would say, honestly, those types of moments are the ones that I always like to highlight and kind of look at because a distinct choice was made, a pivot opportunity arose. And instead of kind of continuing down a cyclic path of kind of rinse and repeat, you chose to enter into the unknown. Mm-hmm. And I'm just curious because a pattern that I've picked up on my life and many others is that the moment you really dedicate your heart to that unknown, it's just like, all right, have fun. And it just kind of throws everything down at once. You're just trying to catch everything without things hitting the ground. But it's just like this chaotic mess of just new opportunities and awesomeness. So how did things navigate after that decision to kind of step away from the grad program?
Yeah, it was a number of stuff because one of the things that I was really, really fortunate at the grad program was that I was a part of a 8-person cohort, including myself. So there's only 8 people in my program for that year. And I had two people, the whole class was very supportive, but there was somebody that reached out to me like, hey, would you teach me improv just one-on-one? I know you do it. I would love to just to learn from you. And so I was like, oh, well, okay. I've never taught it one-on-one, but if you're that down, I'll do it. And then in the summer, I knew I was going to be leaving, but one of my other cohort members and good friends was like, hey, you should teach some of your stuff to our program, because like, we want to learn from you and we want to experience it. So the Improv for Wellness work started to come from my classmates just going like, hey, I want to learn more about this thing, and you know how to do it, and I appreciate what you're doing. And I guess the other part too was that my Alexander Technique teacher in the class we had, one of the assignments she had us do was like, hey, whatever you think about Alexander Technique, you're going to teach a 2-hour class on whatever you want, just include that part of it. And so that was kind of the nugget where it really came to fruition of like, okay, well, I'm going to do it with improv. All that backstory kind of being said, it provided a lot of opportunities for when I did come back for things not to feel that unknown, except for reaching out to theaters and businesses and putting myself out there was the more unknown part. But the thing that constantly went through my mind is like, if I can just get in the space, if I can just get in the room, I know what I'm doing. I just need to be able to learn how to build the business part of it. And that was the hard part at first.
Oh yeah. That's fascinating though, because it just goes right to show that when you really finally take those greater life choices and you really take some time to look within yourself and figure out what is it I want. Well, I know it's not this, so I guess I got to figure it out. That's kind of like life being like, enjoy the road. Like you passed the test.
Well, I just going to hop in. I mean, it was unfamiliar to you. That's why, you know, I like the fact that even though it was unfamiliar, it didn't prevent you from exploring it. Yeah. And that's usually where we get stopped, is we don't know. So therefore, not my territory. We stop and we don't give ourselves a chance to explore what we don't know yet. You know, we stick with what we know and we stay in our little comfort zone of this is it. I just revolve around this rather than expanding our boundaries. And so I applaud you for that, especially in the entrepreneurial world where it can get really weighed down with a lot of shoulds and should nots, right? And just like with acting, I think entrepreneurship is the same way. Like there is no right, there is no wrong. It's just what is present in the moment.
Absolutely. And, you know, I appreciate you saying that. And I think that we talked about it in the last episode, but it's so much just a muscle, being uncomfortable, being unfamiliar.
Yeah.
We have to learn that that never goes away. And that's kind of part of it, that there's always going to be something that makes you uncomfortable or whatever. And, in Julia Cameron's The Artist Way, she talks a lot about, for artists, there's this thing where you constantly have to begin again. There's always going to be a part where you have to start from the beginning again, whether you're doing a show, writing a book or whatever. There's a point where something's done and you have to start again. And so I think that motion helped me to like go ahead and be in that unfamiliar spot. And just a lot of support along the way. Like my dad runs his own business. He's a personal trainer and basketball coach. My mom runs her own business on top of being a nurse, because she teaches yoga and that kind of spiritual side of things. So these were also people that guided me along the way and constantly gave me permission to be like, no, you should start your own business. No, you should do this. You should do that. Like, don't go into the workforce right away. You still have money saved, so you might as well practice that stuff. And when you need to go to work, go to work. But don't make it your first go-to, because you're going to lose your energy. That's a really privileged spot that I was allowed to be in. But the permission that they gave on top of that was the thing of, even when I did have to go and work 40-hour weeks for a little bit and all that, it was like, okay, I know why I'm here though. Yeah. I know why I'm here and I know what steps I want to take to focus in harder and commit further to the improv for wellness work.
Yeah. That's beautiful.
Yeah. I applaud you in that. I mean, having the encouragement, it must've been a relief not knowing that I have to go right back into the grind. I mean, that really does sometimes kill our spirit when suddenly we're giving away our energy to someone else doing what they want us to do. And we're not doing what we love exactly. Unless we can find it in the field where we get paid to do what we love. I mean, that's the magical combination, right?
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes we don't know what it is that we love yet. So we have to go out there and experiment with life to figure out what it is. You know, I just want to say the thing about the muscle part, because this is really worth repeating, because it's around the halfway part of our part one conversation, talking about how, you know, like you do the stream of consciousness writing. Yes. And I practice that as well. And it takes a lot to be able to get out of your own way. And it really is a muscle. But what I want to say here is that, you know, when we think about muscle building, oh, I'm a muscle builder, we think about going to the gym and lifting weights. But the fact of the matter is our brain is a muscle. Our heart is a muscle. And we don't work those out as frequently as we should.
Yeah.
And that's all I wanted to say is I want to applaud you for your efforts and to also be able to share that with others. I mean, what a gift to be able to be. I mean, that's the empowerment, is that I can work my own muscles. I have control over my own muscles, and my muscles don't control my actions. I mean, it's not necessarily a battle of control. It's just a battle of cooperation.
Yeah. And like remembering your true position, as I always like to see it, where it's just like, it's all feedback. It's all sensory feedback. That's like this whole vehicle, this body of flesh is meant to just give us as much feedback about the environment as we can. But because we don't value the intangible things, you know, we don't value those natural instincts. Like we all can tell when there's a fight about to break out, you know, when there's just like someone that is very like malicious intent in the room, you know, like we can all tell these types of like intuitive knowings that we've just been so, I guess you would say, conditioned to just dismiss. But when we come back to this checking in, this self-awareness aspect, like there's so much feedback that arises within our beingness all the time at all hours. Like I honestly even find that sometimes the angst isn't even angst. It's really more so an excitement, but there is just that conditioned pattern of how we interpret some of these feedbacks that takes it down this negative path of perception. And because of that, it just, everything else in reality gets all wonky. But like, that's the beauty of this, I guess you would say, this healing practice of acting, is how I like to see it now at this point, is because it's giving people the tools to let go of those old patterns, that all those habits and energies that have just been cycling, and to finally stop the wheel from spinning and learn how to really turn it to go the other way. Like this type of inner work is really low key, like next level deep stuff. I'm loving it.
When I think about the work, it really is like, I just want people to have space to do, to care about themselves for a little while, right? You can walk away with not getting anything from what I teach. That's okay. Just give yourself the time. That's all that really matters at the end of the day. And to take off that pressure of having to learn something, because I think we all get that if we do class or workshop or anything. It's like, we just need permission to just show up and say, that's all I had to do. Everything else is bonus from here.
Yeah. Well, that right there is just such a subtle yet powerful way to bring people to the ground of acceptance and surrender and to let go of judgments and expectations. Because the moment you do it, when you walk through the door, it's just kind of like, all right, well, like, the story is not written yet. So it's just kind of have fun with whatever's on the page, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's the beauty of this tie, this parallel road that I've seen, you know, in terms of your wellness through acting and really just basic spirituality, is that there is a purpose to every form of art, and it's always to get us back to the pureness. Mm-hmm. You know, because I see yoga, I see spirituality, whatever the people practice and things, you know, painting, drawing, reading, like everything is an art, and it's always meant to bring us back to that sense of authentic self. Yeah. Of the pure ground of being in which we were before we were named, before we soaked up all this other crap from our world. So just to be able to peel those onion layers back while teaching people to have fun and play again is really, really cool stuff, man. Like I'm doubling down with Rusty on that one. Like it is a skill, and it's really don't know, it brings a lot of hope to see that that's how art is evolving, is that it's bringing back the spiritual aspect to it, because ultimately all of these things are just tools for ourselves. And if we're not utilizing and coming from them at the angle of how we can look at them to empower ourselves, and like, what are we doing?
Like, yeah, like it should be for us at the end of the day, and how we want to utilize these tools and skills is totally up for us. But if we teach it from the product lens, then I use this phrase in improv a lot of, you'll never create something as good as you'll discover. The idea being that in improv, if you go in with an idea and you go in with like, I'm going to be this character and the scene's going to go this way, the best thing that can happen is that you do that. That's all that can happen. But if you go in and you allow yourself to discover what happens along the way, you can create something that you can never think about. So it's like, can you give that same permission to your life to just arrive and discover and uncover? Because there's nothing to get or to make yourself better. It's all in you. We're just getting the dirt away. We're just brushing things off of the authentic self.
You just kind of described our show.
Yeah, right?
That's what I was thinking. It's like, that's pretty much creative shit.
Right. You just brush it away. You're just brushing it away.
We just show up. We don't know what's going to, you know, we just create a space for it to present itself, you know, and then we just roll with it. I mean, we also talked about in part one about going with the flow, I mean, and being in the flow. I feel like that's the muscle. You're creating a flow muscle.
And then again, it comes back to like that sailing of the heart, as I like to. And so, audience, Rusty and I go on deep dives in the green room post chats with guests, but like the sailing of the heart, so we can really like narrow this down in the imagery that I always think about it when the origin of it is, you know, your heart is always wanting to just be full force. Ha! Like it is a raging river. Like the universe is always flowing. But we are in this position in this human experience where we still operate in that duality. You know, we have the withholding of love, and we have the giving of love. We have fear, and we have, you know, I guess you would say like absence of fear or love. And there's a lot of different ways you can look at it and interpret that. But the main thing with that sailing of the heart is the river of the heart always wants to flow. And wherever we want to direct that wind or that water is that sail of the heart. And it's subtle. And it's the same thing with our awareness and our attention, is wherever we take it, that's going to be our world. That's going to be our experience. And the important thing here for most people is not to learn how to sail by the heart. We're already doing it naturally. Like whatever we have affection for, that's what we give our attention to. Whatever we love, we do, you know. But the key here is, what are the blockages that are causing that flow to not, I guess you would say, flow fully? You know, where's the dam getting blocked up? Where are there blockages here? And that's the step in which is, you know, we have the tensions for, we don't accept our emotions, we don't give ourselves permission. It's like each one of those is its own little brick that just makes the flow a little bit more intense than it needs to be, and a little bit choppier than it could be, rather than that just free flow expression of it. So when you talk about this process of even you just creation and being in that creative moment and that effortless now, when you bring up the destructive aspect to it, of being able to, you know, to really, you have, I mean, to enter into something new, you kind of have to be willing to let go of the old and to kind of transform and transmute it. You come back into that divine unity where it's, you have the masculine and the feminine, you have the creation and the destruction, where it's like there's the ebb and flow that is naturally ingrained in this aspect of just play and acting. That it's the exact same thing with every other teaching and spiritual focus. Like this whole thing is just, it's been a very interesting direction. Again, like I love how we talk about, like, I had no idea this conversation was going to go this way, but I'm just like, yeah, I'm thoroughly enjoying this shit. Let's go. Like,
I love it too. It's really so funny. And like a lot of what you're speaking on is what I felt through as I learned more about acting and wellness and all this stuff. It's like, oh, okay. Like, the reason people don't know about it is just because if you didn't go to or didn't have the means to go to an acting program, like, why would you know any of this? Because no one's really, not no one. I think there's a movement now of like more of these skills being given to more people simply through a wellness lens, which I love to see. But traditionally, it's like, you know, people don't know about Alexander Technique usually. People don't know about Grotowski. People don't know about the Suzuki art form or viewpoints or just like all of these different techniques beyond just like, oh, what is an acting technique in the first place? It's like they're all just very spiritual, get in tune with who you are stuff, but we would never know.
Yeah.
Well, I was going to read this real quick because this is the description of your wellness weekend. And this kind of points us in the direction. You need nothing but a pen and notebook and a desire to care deeper about yourself. Like, what's right? that got to do with acting? You know, like, but it is.
Yeah.
I mean, like, wow. I mean, like, that is the core. Like you said, to care deeper about yourself is the core. Everything we do is about self-improvement, like how we spend our time, where our time goes. If it's not for growth, it's for decay. There's very little in the middle. You're either growing or decaying, right? And so if you have, I get that when I read that. And give us improper wellness gives us space to love, care for, and invest in our authentic truth. What?
Love it.
Yeah.
Enroll today, everybody. Go to comeupproductions.com. The link's in the description.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thank you. It really is just giving that space. You know, I really believe in that. And my hope for the future as this work grows is like being able to talk with universities or theater training programs so that this is at the core. Or just gen ed kind of stuff where it's like
everyone should learn it.
Yeah, like students of all ages, even if it's not my class, who cares if it's my class? All education should have some sort of class that says, we're going to teach you how to learn and care about yourself. And maybe that's the improv for wellness, but maybe it's something else. There's so many people with so many different approaches that have cracked the code in their own medium, but we have to provide it to people. And that becomes the hard part of like explaining to people like, yeah, let's do some improv for wellness. And people, the first thing is like improv. Oh, I have to be funny. I have to be witty. It was like, there's performance. So it's my job to dispel that and to say, you don't have to do anything. Like even the description you read, a lot of my descriptions for events are like really long because I just want to keep giving permission to people. Just like, it's this, it's not that, like, hey, you're going to be okay. Let's just play and just like make an invitation that someone can say no to. That's one of my favorite quotes that I read in The Art of Gathering by Priya Parker. She talks about gathering as an art form and like, how do you gather people? And she says, make an invitation someone can say no to because you're making it specific and you're attracting the people that actually want to be there. Rather than being broad of like, yeah, anybody come. Well, you actually don't want everybody to come. You don't want people that think that it's dumb and don't want to try.
Yeah.
I don't really want those people in the space. You can think it's dumb and want to try. That's a different thing, right? So getting that specificity becomes really important in building these spaces and these communities.
Yeah, I was going to go the other route and say, even if you don't want to be an actor, you just want to be a better version of yourself.
Yeah.
Come join the class. I mean, that's really where the willingness level is. Like, how willing are you to be authentic?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's interesting, though, when you look at it in the sense of the willingness to be authentic, deconditioning people to no longer be what they thought they were.
Yeah.
I mean, you must run into some pretty like every now and then some like existential stuff might come up with some people being like, wait, what? I can do that? I didn't know I could do that.
Like, there can definitely be like the light bulb or breakthrough moments at times. But the thing that's great is like, again, I try to facilitate the moment for something to happen. But if there's a breakthrough, it's because somebody uncovered it for themselves, right?
Yeah.
Like I didn't tell them like, hey, you should think about this in your life or da, 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 da. It's when we get to the group sharing portion of these segments, they're like, I just uncovered this thing. And like, this makes so much sense. And again, it's just the opportunity to reflect that somebody hasn't been given. And when they're given, it's like, you already have all the wisdom you need, actually. You already know a lot more answers than you think, but we have to build the muscle of trusting that. And that's the part that I hope to come in with.
Yeah.
Very powerful muscle, the authentic muscle.
Authentic muscle. I love that.
We know when someone's pretending, you know, and we also know when they're not. And that's when we get touched, moved, and inspired.
And I think that there's particularly in the acting world, there can be a difficult lesson to try and learn of like, hey, you're interesting enough as you are. And that's the part that can be so tricky to teach, because we have so many people, we have a public conception of what acting is and like what makes it good. So it's like, you know, this actor is a chameleon and they can be anything and I can't tell it's them. And we have people that are so good at being themselves. But at the end of the day, if you arrive with your full self and you just do the work as best as you can and try to live in the moment with it, that's all you can do. And that's all you need to do. And there's tons of different techniques and methods to try and mold that, but you have to care about yourself enough in the beginning. Like one of, I had a director in college where he would say, he would teach a directing class that I took. And he was like, the reason that they keep putting on like the same plays or the same Shakespeare plays or something is not because of, you know, the story necessarily all the time. They want to see you do it. And that's the thing. You get to express yourself through the play, through the movie, through whatever. But if you don't see yourself as, I have something to express within this, then you will just kind of be a tool in the process. And there are plenty of people that still thrive in that way and are okay with like, yeah, you know, I'm just kind of a puppet. I move these different places and I do this stuff. And puppet not being a derogatory term is just like, that's just kind of what the situation calls for. But if that's not how you want to interact with it, you got to have that awareness with it.
What you just said, you just take that, remove acting, remove the stage, just put yourself in any daily life circumstance.
Exactly.
Can you be a chameleon at that moment and be appropriate to whatever is required? Like right now, if I should shut up, can I? Or if there's something that needs to be expressed, will I?
Yeah.
And so that's where I see that it spills over. Like everything, you're not teaching acting skills, you're teaching life skills.
Yeah. And it happens to be that's the part that trips people up sometimes, is that it's the life skills that help you with the performance.
Yes.
But you can do that stuff on your own. I'm just gonna focus on this, knowing it'll help you with that. So
it's
definitely agree with the life.
Yes. Yeah. To practice the play of the flow.
Yeah.
Practice being the me I want to be. Practice being self-expressive without judgment and or condemnation.
And it's funny because when everything was coming up, the line that just kept like getting repeated in my being was just like, care enough about yourself to give yourself up fully to the now. Mm-hmm. And that's what I find is, again, it's those practical lessons, it's those practical pointers that teach people how to kind of take the assumptions out of our own experience, to take our own fears and past, really the past memories that we, you know, supersede and put over the present moment. And when we're able to really tap into that, I guess you would just say openness and acceptance of yourself, you start to tap into this kind of intangible realm of freedom, of liberation. And that's the beauty from what I've seen. And I guess that's kind of like the freedom that you see of a lot of people who are in acting, is that, you know, it's like they can just be playful, they can do whatever, it doesn't really matter, whatever the situation arises for, they can adapt and, you know, and change to it. And that's like the core of being a person, like is adaptability, you know, is being able to see your surroundings and overcome situations, adapt to mold. And that's why I think it's so funny where I was just like, yeah, I mean, like you read things, you're like, okay, this is someone's perspective, but do they really like, how do they live it? You know? And I think that's the essence that we always try to like highlight conscious creators here in Creative Chat. It's like, we really do highlight people who live it. And that's where you can tell from your teachings and just how you point about it, where it's just like, this is no different than, you know, a different, like, you know, spiritual discourse. It's the same, and if not more powerful, because there's a practical application to it right now. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a huge disconnect that people have, is they think of spirituality and personal development as this own sect, like, oh, I got to be in a monastery, I got to have a robe, you know,
compartmentalize.
Yes, they compartmentalize it from just the beingness of life. But all of these things, like, that's the one thing that I've found is the most important takeaway from spirituality, or, you know, my own process of inner looking, as it's brought me to this point of, okay, well, I know I can do the flow for these certain things and these certain things, so let's practice it for other things, you know, and just living it and making it a part of the being. And so when people say stuff like, oh, even like, I mean, even yourself, like, great question, this, like, don't thank me. I would just thank life, you know, thank the universe, because I'm just watching the movie. You know, I'm just kicking back, hanging out, and like just eating popcorn all the time. Like, oh, this is getting good. Like, yeah. This is an excellent twist. I didn't see where this was coming. So it comes back to what you're saying in part one, where it's, what was the quote? It was the
attention you give a thing makes the thing.
The attention you give a thing makes a thing. Combine that with the creation aspect of being willing to create and destroy, where it's just like, okay, now that's the paradox. Let go of both of those once you learn them.
Yeah. I got another quote.
Which we come.
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
Where the attention flows. Oh no, where your attention goes, energy flows and love grows.
Yeah. And like all those pieces do come together, and that creation and destruction. It's, I think that can be what I see as one of the most difficult parts beginning in some of the wellness or self-reflection stuff, because for those of us that maybe have not done as much of that work, you come face to face with the reality of, oh shit, there might be a point that comes where it's like, I'm not who I thought I was. Mm-hmm. And that is really intimidating and scary sometimes, where it's like, oh well, you know, a stereotypical example might be someone on a healing journey through trauma and getting to learn, I am not my trauma. But if you've lived your whole life with that being one of your key identifiers, that's a difficult transition to make. And only you can decide if that is the transition for you in that moment or in life, right? But to be able to say that this is still a part of me, and also I am this, and also I am this, getting to create who you are while having the destruction of what we think we are or what we think we're supposed to be. We can get in tune with the impulses for it to tell us, I am this, I am that. I want to go walks. I don't do the walks. So that's telling me that walks are an important part of me, but I wasn't someone who takes walks. So what does that mean? And all of a sudden you just have all of that creating destruction, like you're saying, of who am I? And can I be excited to meet who I am?
Yeah. Hmm. Well, and that's the thing too, where it's, can we be excited to meet who we are, even though we still don't even know who we are?
Yeah.
We don't know. We don't really fully. I mean, again, I think it comes back to the sense of none of us fully know who we are, because we're never done growing. And that is one of the many misconceptions, again, that we kind of get force fed, is that there's somehow a process or step that you made it. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing where it's so false, because there's always a deeper hole that you can dig within. You know, you can always peel back those layers, and it's just going to continue to reveal the beauty in a different level. And I think that's the most important thing here, where it's, you know, we talk about this self-awareness through the practice of creative expression and playfulness, and, you know, really just getting to tap into your creativity again, to bring you to this point of self-attunement, where you can kind of tweak things a little bit. And then that right there, I feel like, is that full process of just self-love.
Yeah.
Where it's just knowing that it's going to be that, you know, that just as life is always changing and the seasons are changing, everything's coming and going, like there's always going to be that process where we have to always have be self-aware to check in, to self-attune. And that is, again, this like under that umbrella of just another aspect of self-love. And without that, we really are missing a huge aspect of this human experience. So I just want to say thanks again, man, for like, for teaching people this aspect and approaching art in this sense, because I said it in part one, but as I see things developing across society, like this is how all art I see will be taught, is that aspect of self-empowerment. You know, how can you make this yours? It's no longer doing it for just an assignment. It's no longer doing it for points or for a grade to get critiqued. It's getting you to a point of self-acceptance that you can really just be and be comfortable expressing yourself, even if it's like a shitty quote unquote, you know, drawing or art or whatever it is, that people are going to be comfortable enough to just like at least try it and not be so caught up in the fear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I appreciate that insight and your words. And I really believe that as this kind of work grows on my end, on all ends of arts, wellness, or just art in general, getting to work towards the mindset of like, we are not in control of the quality of our creativity. Because if we were, we would make good things. We would make things that were really special and that everybody loved, but that's not what we do. And it's not actually that important. The expression part is what's important, and being able to teach people, kind of like you were just saying, of like making this thing, and maybe it's not a good thing, or it's not like a good painting or a good theater piece or anything like that. We get to focus in on like, oh, well, that wasn't why I made it though. Like, I made it because it was what was on my mind and what was on my heart. And I can use techniques and tools and all of that stuff to make something a more inviting story or inviting piece. But if we don't start from this is for me first,
100%.
Again, there's no foundation. There's no foundation to work from, because if I'm putting on a play, the audience is always going to know what they want better than I'm going to know what they want. So if I try to make something for them, I screw myself over because I'm so worried about them rather than what do I have to say? And then let's collaborate to figure out how could we make a piece that everybody can enjoy, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. Lots of different thoughts that come up with theater that I can go down rabbit holes with.
But I guess it just goes to show the kind of potential that we haven't even really tapped into with creative expression and with art. And I want to say that it definitely leaves me feeling really hopeful and excited, but it also leaves me feeling a little bit like, wow, like, what have we been doing all this time?
Right.
Like, right. Are we really optimizing the potential of what we could be with art and the creative expression aspect of it?
Yeah, because we could start to play with the mentality that one with like authenticity, right? If everybody in the universe is able to accept like their authentic truth, we expand what humanity can be by arriving by how we actually are. Same thing with art or different creative mediums or anything in life. If somebody comes in and wants to write a book and they want to write a book the way they've never seen a book, but then they get scared because they've never seen anything like it before, then we did not allow the spectrum of what this medium can be to be possible. But if you allow yourself to express your truth within the medium, now it's not so much like, oh, books aren't that way. You just said books can now be this way too. And that's the mind-blowing moment, at least for me, of I have nothing to prove. I have nothing to prove. And I can figure out the other elements if I want that to be a career or if I want more people to enjoy the story and stuff. Those are on top of the initial thing.
Well, already I can tell that this is definitely necessities in terms of programs and how they structure, I would say, theater and just even approaching, honestly, just any type of class for kids. I feel like this is just, you know, something that we really need to learn, because there's nothing more important than that bodily understanding, being able to understand where your emotions are coming from, why you're feeling them, how to navigate them, obviously accepting them. That first initial aspect of surrender and acceptance, and to be able to teach how to move it through the body and like use it for something that can be expressed is like, yo, that's so important, because no longer would we have this cycle of so many kids holding on to things that just consume them, you know, to be able to express it in some way, shape or form. And again, it's just not theater. And I don't want the audience to think that it's just like, yes, just theater will save the day. Right. But it's like, but this same approach and what you've tapped into, Teague, is like, that is how we can interpret all art, that same aspect of bringing it back to yourself. How does that color make you feel when you put it on the canvas? Yes. You know, like, how does that sound make you feel when you hear that string pluck? How did this arrangement of it, you know, like being able to really bring a self-awareness to the experience of creative expression. To me, I'm just like, that's how we get to understand each other on a deeper level as gods and goddesses, y'all. Like, let's go. Yes. Like,
yeah, like we can't understand that energy within each other if we're constantly acting like it's not there. Yeah. Right. It'll just stay hidden forever. And honestly, like, I think with any artistic medium or anything that people do, if you just add what I found for myself, if you just add the ending of with wellness to it, you can already unlock a whole bunch of possibilities. Technology with wellness, books with wellness, dance with wellness, like already, like you can just, the brain already sees all the things that are possible within that. Like, oh, I could teach dance in this way and this would happen. But it's just whatever you're interested in. I truly believe that everybody has inherent wisdom, has inherent lessons to teach, but we have to cultivate the skills and help each other learn how to express that so that we can keep learning from each other. So we can keep being like, you had that thing that no one in the universe knew about, or people knew about it, but they've never articulated it the way you did. So there's still value in that. So it's just so much uncovering and permission that we could give.
You know, and I'm just going to just reveal what just popped in my beingness when that whole, you know, when you were just pitching the with wellness aspect, where it's just like, you know, you got almost like a slot machine-esque aspect of like that role, and it's just like dance with wellness living, and then it just starts scrolling through a bunch of things, you can't even read it anymore, and then it just like cycles back and it's just living with wellness, and it's just like, oh, mic drop, where's the right
that's a workshop right there, right? Exactly. Like that's
you got a dope commercial for it.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
or who knows, maybe that could be an intro to a new show. I think that's, you know, there's so many things about that where it's again, it's bringing back the importance of the human experience to the forefront, the person experiencing it, you know, and that's a dance of me, myself, and I. We're only responsible for ourselves in this journey. And just to know that there are, you know, conscious creators and conscious, you know, manifestors out there who are like putting their heart into the work. It's one of those things that gives me hope. And again, like, it's funny, I never really know why shirts get pulled, but to me, I think this is the most important aspect of compassion that we can do. It's the greatest act that we can give, is that the tools that we used for our own self-love and our own healing and our own transformation, and to recognize that we experience those things to have those kind of aha moments for a reason, and then to put that out in the world as the passion that it is for you. That's just like, yo, that's as I literally see it, our only job here is to be our most authentic self and to give that gift to the world. That's it. And when you're doing that right there, it's like, that's truly compassionate living, because you're living through your love and giving love to others. Your cup's overflowing. So it's just like, yes, man, thank you.
Thank you. And thank you all just for just the opportunity to speak and talk of these things, because it's so fun to get to explore these things, explore spirituality, explore the intersection of all of it. You just start to realize that everything's interconnected in some way. 100%. You just have to learn what you care about, and then you can find the bridges between all this stuff. And that's what's exciting. So this has been so fun.
It has been. I got to say two things. is one reason why Peter and I created this show, is that we could have conversations like this, because this isn't your typical casual convo here, people. This is like deep dives. And this is the type of convo that Peter and I are used to. But the thing is, before I found Peter, I didn't know who else. It was difficult having convos with people, because I'd go off on these tangents and they're like, no, we're staying within these lines, within these boundaries. We're only talking about this. And I'm wanting to go all over the place, hop, skip, and jump, and let's share, and let's express. And look at this puzzle piece. Look at this puzzle piece. Yeah. Well, and sometimes, puzzle pieces. What do I do with these pieces? You know?
Yeah, to the untrained, it looks unorganized, but it's like when you take the objective step back, it's like, no, there's just so many pieces that are going into all of these different points. Like, yeah, we're coming back around.
And this is where another creator goes, well, you know what I did with this piece? I put it here. Look what it did over here. And I'm like, oh, okay. I didn't know what else I could do with it. I mean, I didn't know where it went, but this is where I'm like looking at this, like, this is the type of platform and medium that I feel comfortable in. I can be myself in this. There's no, you know, it's not necessary interview process. There's no stipulations. There's no guidelines. There's just one. Be yourself. Be your most authentic self. And Peter has a great way of being able to create that space for our guests to be themselves. And so, you know, I want to thank you for opening up. And the second thing I wanted to say was that you said this in part one. We've said it again in part two. So it bears repeating, because this is a life lesson I learned probably about 20 years ago, and it rocked my world, doing some sort of presentation. And suddenly the instructor calls me out on something, right? Because I was projecting. I wasn't being projecting what I thought people wanted me to say, or being how I thought people would like me to be, so people could like me, or whatever it was, right? And he said something that at that point was very profound to me. And he says, you know, you don't have anything to prove to anybody anymore. I just want to make that perfectly clear right now, and I want you to repeat it. And I went, I couldn't. I was tongue-tied. I didn't even comprehend. Like, what? I'm not proving. Like, it sat and festered for the longest time, to the point where I realized I was showboating. I wasn't being authentic. I was being plastic. I was being extremely two-dimensional, people-pleasing. And then when I finally owned it, like, I don't have anything to prove to anybody anymore. Then it got to a point where the only one I have to prove it to is myself. Like,
and I get to have a clear head, you know. I feel like that's what I had to accept for myself. Like, oh, I don't have to think as much as I do. Like, I can stop thinking and
expectations are gone.
Exactly. Like, there's no expectations. There's none of that. I don't need to. I can trust that I am a good, kind-hearted person, and I don't have to keep trying to prove it. It's just like, it'll just be there. And when I cross someone's boundary, I will trust that somebody or the universe is going to tell me, so that I can figure out if that's how I want to keep navigating through the world. And it's like, I just don't want to hold on to that much thinking anymore. So I totally hear you in that.
It was a downward spiral, because here I am trying to prove everything to everybody except for myself. Like, I'm not even taking myself in consideration. I'm like, going, okay, so how am I supposed to be? As if I'm supposed to be something other than who I am or what I am.
Yeah. The wheel of self-love is something that came up, and it's similar to what I talked about. I'll have to drop this for a future episode, but I think the one important thing that comes back to the heart is just the sense of everything that's really been discussed is just a form of self-love in its own way, shape, and form. And just even taking away like the pressures of even just like even showing up to something, you know, and just living in a more self-aware light of just being more self-loving to yourself, you know, giving yourself the chance to learn, to have these opportunities to experience and hold space and have space held for you. You know, like, I know that's one thing for myself personally, like the whole healers, facilitator, teacher, coach, whatever perspective people want to put on people. It's just one of those things where, like, when you're in a position where you're always holding space for others, rarely do you hold space for yourself. And learning that aspect of self-love is something that's so important. And I know it's definitely one of the cores behind my whole 2022 year is, mm-hmm. is live love, like fully live love. And that's just it, you know? And I think that right here is to be able to bring on this deeper undertone level of like really focusing on that inner looking and self-love is something that's really magical and powerful in terms of the potential that people can really utilize this type of instruction and experience. So yeah, I just got to say, like, we had you close out episode one, or part one, I should say. Do you have any more nuggets after this little green room conversation that you'd like to bestow the listeners, man? Like,
I felt like there was something that was just on my head, but now it might be fading away. I don't know. I just appreciate just the space to get to talk about this stuff. And I completely agree with the self-love aspect of this. I think here's the thing I was thinking. I think that it's really hard to do harm when you fully authentically love yourself. It's difficult to do harm when you work from that place. So I think it's worth, you know, in countless aspects of life and our society today and all of that, where it's okay to turn back in and be like, what kind of person do I want to be? Who is the person that I want to be? How do I want to navigate through the world? And it doesn't matter if you think you can do it or not. Just give the time to ask yourself, like, what does my ideal life look like? And then we can start to work from that place of truth and desire. And then we can use that as a catalyst for things moving out throughout that, rather than figuring out, like, you know, how can I be a better partner? How can I be a better dad? How can I be a better this, that, or the other thing? It's like, well, I got to figure out what I would love in myself first. And then I can use those other spots as inspiration. Or maybe you need those other spots as inspiration to get to yourself, whatever your path is. But I think that time to do the self-love makes a lot of other things easier, but it's a long journey and one that never ends. So giving that permission to walk that path is what's coming to my heart and mind right now.
Ooh. Hey, there's nothing more important than really highlighting again the importance of giving ourselves permission to be, to explore, to experience, to whatever it is that the moment's calling for, just to fully embrace and accept that and surrender and let go and all the juiciness that the love opens up. So with that, I just got to say, that was a doozy of a crash course and discourse. But I just got to say again, Teague, thank you so much for coming on Creatives Chat. It means so much to our community. And I already know that the work that you're doing is going to start changing and unfolding lives like nobody's business. So with that, thanks for tapping in. Tune in next week and roll the outro.
Okay.
Thanks again to our sponsors for making this show possible. Thank you, We Are Historically, for your conscious human apparel. Shop online at wearehistorically.com.
Raise your vibration and energize your life with specialized Fibonacci tuning forks that deepen meditations and empower self-healing. Get your vibrational sound tools for personal enhancement at energybodytuners.com.
Another Creative Art production by Retro Earth Studio.
There we go. Yeah, dude, that was dope. Because I think that's something that's like, it's hella important nowadays. And I think that's to bring about that aspect of self-awareness, because it's coming up, obviously.
That concludes this episode of Creatives Chat. Thank you for watching our show. Click the bell button to get notified of future episodes. Don't forget to like and subscribe.
That's fascinating, though, because it just goes right to show that when you really finally take those greater life choices and you really take some time to look within yourself and figure out what is it I want,